Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I am your host, Emily Cleghorn. This podcast is for mamas navigating childhood trauma while also walking through mamahood. Together, we will empower each other to connect with who we were created to be versus who we were told to be in our trauma. Today, I am so excited to be talking with Tiffany. We are going to be talking about healing your mama wound as a girl mom. Welcome.
Yeah. Hi, thank you.
Tiffany, let's get started by having you share a bit of your story. What brought you to serve in the capacity that you do?
Let's see. Well, you know, I tend to want to heal by putting myself in the spaces that, you know, meet the needs that might, when my needs weren't met, you know, I'm meeting other people's needs, and it's sort of cathartic in that way. You know, I'm getting to experience it just from a different perspective. So I serve as a doula and a childbirth educator and sort of a new parent mentor. And I do a lot in that realm. And because of my experience with perinatal mental health disorders, I'm in doing that work as well. I think I put myself in that calling because it's a very nurturing role, right? And because I didn't get nurtured growing up the way that I needed to, I tend to have a high need to nurture, over nurture, you know, and that gets a way for me to express that nurturing need in a healthier way.
Yeah. So what are some of the things that you see most frequently with new mamas?
A lot of new mamas tend to have strained relationships with their own mama. And so when they bring home a baby and they need that support, mm-hmm. it usually has a lot of friction. You know, their mom comes around or maybe doesn't, you know, maybe they don't have that connection to their mother and they don't have that support. And that's a wound and that's an area that they're missing. Or they have a strained relationship with their mom and the mom is coming and, you know, maybe they're having conflicts over what to do with the baby, or, you know, maybe this mom wants to do it differently than her mom did. And there's a lot of hurt feelings coming up. So there can be a lot of challenging things to navigate when you bring home a new baby and you become a mother, and you may have, you know, not so great of a relationship with your own mom.
Yeah. So for me, when I brought my, I had both of my kids 5,600 kilometers away from all of my family. So mm-hmm. I didn't have the support. And so when I had my daughter, my in-laws came out mm-hmm. About a month when my daughter was a month old. Mm-hmm. And then my mother-in-law came out when my son was born to stay with our daughter. And that was a very tense situation both times. Mm-hmm. And now being a little over 4.5 years since the first, my daughter being born, I recognize that the relationship I had with my mother-in-law, which was very tense the entire time I knew the woman, she was very much dictated by my mama wound that I had from my own mother. Mm-hmm. And that's interesting. So how does a mama wound typically in your experience, show in the postpartum? Because I know how it showed up for me, mm-hmm. but how does it typically show up for other new mamas?
Well, I think that's really unique to the person. You know, it's different for everybody. I can tell you how it showed up for me. You know, when I found out that I was expecting a girl, I was really, really afraid at first because of my own experience, you know, having my difficult relationship with my mother. I was really afraid that, like, maybe I wouldn't like my daughter. Maybe she wouldn't like me. Maybe it would just be really ugly all over again. And, you know, I wouldn't know what to do with that. So I wasn't as excited initially that, you know, most people feel when they find out that they're having a little girl or something. Like, mine was mostly trepidation. but I came around, you know, quickly. Once she was born, I fell in love with her quickly, and it kind of wasn't an issue anymore. But for me, when we have kids, we want to call our mom. We want to ask her, you know, hey, what do I do in this situation? Or what do you think about this? Or you just need that comfort. You need that nurturing and that reassurance. And, like, sometimes you just can't access that. Maybe you're just, you know, you pick up the phone and all you're going to get is criticism or judgment, or, you know, you're not going to get that comfort that you're seeking. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember one thing distinctly when I did say that I was having a girl, because at first I didn't want to tell my mom. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to tell her that I was having a daughter. And when I did tell her I was having a daughter, I remember her reaction was, good, I really hope she gives you as much hell as you gave me. And I was, you know, like, so taken aback by that statement that I kind of cut off contact for a good few months during the rest of my pregnancy with my mom, because I just was really hurt and I didn't know why anybody would say that they wish for it to be hard for me. You know, and it took some time to kind of figure out, like, that's her own way of coping with having difficult relationships with her daughters and not having a connected relationship with her own mom. You know, it's multi-layered, but, you know, it was hard because I wanted that nurturing presence. I wanted that mom to sort of guide me and tell me what I could do. And I just didn't have that. That wasn't available for me. And I had to figure it out kind of all on my own.
Yeah. Not having that relationship where you have your own mom to help you navigate a brand new journey into motherhood yourself. I know for me, it was like there was something missing. I wasn't doing it alone. I had my husband, but he's not the same. He's not the same as a mom who understands the emotions and the feelings and the body changes and all of the things that are included in the transition from not a mom to, okay, now I'm responsible for this little tiny helpless person. It's difficult. And a lot of care providers don't recognize the added layer of difficulty that new moms without supportive moms are dealing with. So what are some of the strategies or tools that a new mama might be able to utilize in the first year of being a mama to help her cope with all of the things?
So the first thing that comes to mind would be like a postpartum doula, because that's a good sort of stand in, you know, feminine role, feminine energy that can sort of mimic like the dynamic of a mother-daughter relationship in sort of, in some sense, you know, mm-hmm. it can just be a really nourishing feminine presence mm-hmm. that can help you navigate the complexities of raising a newborn and navigate what's going on in your body and how to best support yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's just that extra person that, you know, is there looking out for you. I wish I would have had that, you know, I didn't get to experience those myself. So I kind of became that for other people, but you know, if I had to do it all over again, I would absolutely say like, find yourself a great postpartum doula that can be there and sort of be mothering the mother, mm-hmm. so that you get what you need and you're able to fulfill that gaping space. Mm-hmm. Another thing is, you know, if you do have a great relationship with your partner's mom, you know, try to navigate that, like bring the mother-in-law in if it's a healthy situation.
Yeah.
not necessarily always is. Again, I didn't have that, you know, so, but like, if you do have a great relationship with your mother-in-law, or if she is around, try to use mm-hmm. that as a sort of resource to navigate this new change in your life. Other than that, like, it's really hard to say because I had nothing, you know, I didn't have a village. I didn't have girlfriends. No. I didn't have a grandma. I didn't have anything to fill that space and meet that need. So I can say, you know, all these things, but if you're a person like me who just doesn't have those options, you know, what are you going to do? Like, the best thing you can do is feel your feelings and honor the fact that you're doing a really hard and challenging thing on your own, mm-hmm. and get help, you know, find a therapist and get somebody who's on your side guiding you through this new experience, because we can't do it by ourselves. It's not going to work.
No, we can't do it on our own. We can try, but postpartum life is challenging without an extra layer of difficulty.
Yeah.
One thing that I did when I was walking through some of the darkest days that I had postpartum, I surrounded myself with a virtual community, because mm-hmm. I didn't have people around me other than my husband. I surrounded myself with a virtual community of supportive, uplifting mamas from all around the globe, really. And that community helped me more than I think they know. Mm-hmm. Just giving me somebody to talk to, not necessarily about my daughter, not necessarily about the hard feelings I was experiencing, but it gave me somebody to talk to, and I was seen, because mm-hmm. so often as a new mama, you become invisible, and everybody that you come into contact with is, oh, how's the baby? Oh, is the baby okay? Well, mm-hmm. yeah, the baby's fine. What about me?
Yeah, I know. Facebook was sort of a lifeline when I had my daughter, because I was in a really rural town and mm-hmm. I didn't have any family around and I didn't have any friends. And it was really my only connection to any mm-hmm. kind of social interaction that kept me going, because I was suffering immensely when I had my daughter with perinatal mental health disorders. And the only way that I could, you know, connect with another human, another adult, was through my phone on, you know, the social media. Mm-hmm. And so I relied heavily on that, you know, probably similar like you did, because I just didn't have any physical presence like to call upon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was also teaching full time. I was on mat leave from my education career, and I would pack up my daughter, stop at the local Subway, and go have lunch with my coworkers. Mm-hmm. Because that was human interaction. The kids at my school love to see the baby. I taught in a Mennonite school, so they are not shy of babies. And that was something that helped. So connecting with a local moms group, I know there are a ton of free resources, depending on your community, of course. Mm-hmm. But connect with a virtual or an in-person moms group, and use your spidey sense to judge character.
Yeah. We have actually, I wish it was around when I had my daughter, but it came around, I think, I don't know. I'm not sure how long it's been around. It's been around for a few years now, but it's a great organization and it's called Fourth Trimester Arizona. And so they have what is called in-person villages. So they do meetings, you know, I think once a week, every different part of Arizona has its own village and they kind of alternate who's meeting. During COVID, they all went virtual. So you could access, you know, a meeting every week and join and just meet people and hear a speaker mm-hmm. talk and learn something new. You know, they cover a lot of different topics for new moms. And that was like amazing once I came and got connected to that, because, you know, I was able to meet other people who are doing or going through the similar things. And it was just nice. You know, I've tried mom groups on Facebook, and when you say like, use your spidey senses for character, like, I don't know. It's so picky with those moms groups. It's really mm-hmm. challenging because it's very like, you know, it's very divided. Mm-hmm. There's usually like moms who do this certain thing and moms who do that certain thing. And you have to find like where you fit in into all that. Mm-hmm. And it can be really challenging to find someone to connect with.
Yeah, it can be. It can be a little bit like high school cliques.
Yeah, very much so.
So you have to be careful.
So. Yeah.
And if you don't fit in or you don't feel like the group is your cup of tea, it's okay to leave and find a new one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so connect with other humans in some way, virtually or in person. Reach out, seek help. Just because you don't have your mama doesn't mean you have to do it all by yourself.
Yeah. What was your experience with navigating your mama wound and your, you know, raising your children?
So when my daughter was born in 2018, it served as a huge wake-up call, and about a couple days postpartum, it was like the trauma freight train hit me and every repressed emotion that I had came bubbling to the surface on top of my postpartum hormones. And my fight or flight response was on. And it was telling me to run. And I had to decide to stay. And I had to choose to stay every day for a while, because I hated being a mom. Mm-hmm. In my mind, moms hurt people. Moms aren't reliable. So there was a lot of work that I had to do to come to terms with the fact that I am not my mother. She is a separate person. I am me. I have the power to make new choices. And I had to go from there. And that journey is continuing. Yeah, there's a lot of layers to that onion. Mm-hmm. It's a big onion. So I've had to do a lot of work around reclaiming my own personal power and reclaiming my voice and forgiving myself and other people. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting there. I don't know if I'll ever be fully healed, but I know that I'm present most days with my kids, and they are kind and compassionate little people. So we are navigating it together.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever really done. You know, I think it's a long journey, because with every age and stage, there's probably a new trigger, you know, there's probably a new challenge and a new trigger of your own experience with your mom. Cause I know that's how it is for me.
Yeah.
And you know, that goes on for years. I don't think there's ever really a time where it's kind of like over and that you've arrived. I think it's just a really long journey.
Yeah. And for me, my daughter has not yet reached the age of where the worst of my trauma happened.
Yeah.
So I'm sure I'd be eternally grateful if it was easy peasy lemon squeezy, but I will not be surprised if some very challenging things come up in a few years.
Yeah. You talk about practices, you know, like forgiveness and all of that. And compassion has been a big one for me, because I had such a difficult time with self-image and criticism. And, you know, I didn't have any self-love. I didn't have any confidence. I didn't have, you know, I came into the world like pretty hurt, you know? And I was really, really, really angry for a very long time at my mother. You know, there were points in time where I hated her and I wanted her to feel the amount of pain that I was carrying. And it was like revenge. I wanted vengeance. But it took me a long time, you know, after becoming a mother, to cultivate compassion, not only for myself, you know, and learn that, like, that inner voice, you know, that goes on and that's very critical and very hypervigilant. Like, it's not me. It came from things that happened to me. And, like, you know, I've had to give myself compassion for that. And I've had to work really hard for some years to develop the compassion and understanding for my mom. You know, like, this mother wound thing, it didn't start with her. It didn't start with me. You know, it's generational in my family. I can identify at least 3 generations.
Me too.
Oh, even before that, you know? And so that's helped with me understanding, like, it wasn't, you know, a me and her thing. It was like something that she struggled with too. My mother's always had really challenging relationships with the feminine, with women. Like, she's never had great friendships, and she didn't have a great connection to her mother, and she didn't really have a connection to either me or my sister. Like, it was really tumultuous and really ugly for a long time. And it's taken me some years to work on that with her, to get to a place where, you know, we can talk now. And we can start to break down some of this trauma, and I can start to, like, you know, have more of a healthier conversation about it, where it's not so much, you know, aggression. I've been able to work through some of that. But it's hard. It's really hard because I wanted a certain mom, you know, I wanted her to be a certain way. And I was so upset that she wasn't. And I didn't understand why I was so, you know, unlucky. Cause, like, I would see growing up other girls, like, love their moms and have great relationships. And I was always so pissed off that, like, I wasn't that person.
Yeah.
You know, why couldn't I have that? Why do I have this difficult relationship?
What did I do?
Yeah, like, what did I do? And that was really hard to, you know, finally come around and be like, it wasn't me.
Nope.
I was a kid. It wasn't me. It was their shit. And, you know, that shit happened because of their parents' shit. And, you know, like, it goes mm-hmm. back and back and back.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the trauma awareness and learning about trauma and then coming to a compassion practice has been really helpful in navigating this mother wound while raising a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I have to really think about, like, how I'm showing up for her. You know, mm-hmm. like, it's really in the forefront of my mind. Like, does she feel loved? Does she mm-hmm. feel wanted? Is she confident in herself? Does she believe in herself? Because those were things that I didn't. I really lacked it. You know, I was a neurodivergent child with a lot of trauma, but that wasn't recognized. I was labeled mm-hmm. as naughty and difficult, and bossy, and too much and too needy. And, you know, my mom was older when she had me, and I was unexpected. And, you know, my father wasn't the most supportive at that time. And she had a lot, you know, on her plate. And I think she was just tired. You know, she already had 4 kids.
Yeah.
And so by the time I came around, you know, I wasn't getting the best of either of them.
Yeah.
And that created a lot of attachment wounding. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't have that sense of safety. I didn't have that sense of security and connection. Mm-hmm. I was constantly told a lot of negative things about, you know, what they thought of me. I didn't get much positive feedback. And so when you're growing up, you tend to believe like what everybody mm-hmm. else is telling you. And that shapes your image, and that shapes mm-hmm. whether or not you feel confident. And, you know, so that's taken a lot of time to mm-hmm. sort of unwind that and build back up, like, what is my identity? What was
yeah.
their things, and what is me?
Mm-hmm.
And like, how do I not crush my own daughter's sense of self in yeah. the mix of all of mm-hmm. it? You know, it's really hard. But I've learned a lot through this process and through therapy, you mm-hmm. know, of identifying like, where does this codependency struggle come from? Or why do I struggle so much with boundaries? Or, you know, where did this perfectionism and this super, you know, hypervigilant, critical person inside of me come from? And
mm-hmm.
and I realized all of this stuff is trauma related, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so my main point is, like, it can change with you. Like, I decided yeah. that, you know, I decided that when I had her, that I was going to do my damnedest to not pass on this same wound with mm-hmm. her. And every day, you know, I have to give it my best shot. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I think the 3 or 4 main things that I would want to share with people that are listening to this would be willing to learn. You mm-hmm. know, you're going to make mistakes, and you're going to have to be okay with that.
Give yourself grace.
Yeah, give yourself grace and compassion, and focus on the repair. Because I think that that's what was really, really lacking in my experience of growing up. There was no repair. There was mm-hmm. a lot of wounding, but there wasn't any fixing that or coming back around and talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a really long time. And, you know, again, therapy has been a lifesaver for me to navigate a lot of this, because a lot of it does come up in parenting all the time.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter has a very big personality.
Mm-hmm.
She's a lot like me. She comes by it rightly. But now I can kind of see, like, you know, like I said, that compassion piece. I can see, like, I was probably a lot for my family. You know, I came around with a big, big energy, and they were older parents and had already raised a few kids and were going through, like, a lot of difficult situations in their own mm-hmm. life. And then it was like, here's a baby. So, you know, I do spend time looking at that, thinking, like, you know, I can't hate them. They had a lot of their own baggage and things mm-hmm. going on. And at that time period, nobody was talking about mental health. Trauma wasn't a word in society, you know? No. That's all really new. That's our generation that's coming around to this. And just that in of itself gives me hope that, you know, our kids are going to be much better off than we were, because we are having these discussions and we are mindful of our trauma and we are doing the work to you know, improve things.
Yeah. Yeah. When my daughter was born and they placed her on my stomach, I said, finally, I have someone who's never going to leave me. And in my mind, she was like my sidekick. And it was a very strange feeling, because my husband, he can leave. If he chooses to, he can say, I'm done, and walk away. My family, my dad, he's walked away many times. My mom walked away. My grandparents can walk away. But my daughter, I will always be tied to her. So it was different for me because I hadn't experienced something like that before. I don't really have a point. Just sharing.
No, thank you. Thank you for sharing that with me. I think it's interesting, you know, that you felt that, because for me, it's a little different. Like, I always wonder, you know, when my daughter gets older, is she going to cut me off? is she going to want to be in my life? You know, like.
That thought occurred to me later.
Yeah.
Wait. Oh, wait.
Yeah, because I mean, we like to think like these are our kids, they're going to be around forever. But like, I think back to my own experience, you know, growing up and being a teenager and like getting the hell out of Dodge as quick as I could. And, you know, I don't want the same thing for her. You know, no. I want her to feel insecure. I don't want her to feel like she's got to hurry up and get married and get out of the house. Like,
yeah.
You know, I want her to feel like she's home. And that she can trust in me and that I'm going to be there through whatever happens for her. Because, you know, I didn't have that. There was always that, like, if you do this, you're on your own. If you do that, I'm kicking you out, you know, like.
Yeah.
So I'm trying really hard to make sure that I don't repeat those same patterns and I change the narrative of, you know, what's going on here. And another thing I think, you know, if I want to talk about this is like, it's about progress, right? You know how I mentioned perfectionism, which is really hard for me because, you know, my daughter's six and I've made a lot of mistakes and that, you know, I'll often go to my therapist and just beat myself up because I'm like, I could have done this differently. I should have done this better. You know, what if she goes and this is traumatic for her later? And she's always talking about, you know, giving myself that grace to make mistakes and knowing that it's par for the course. And like, our kids are all going to be a little messed up no matter what we do, because we can't be perfect. And, you know, it's about progress over perfection and just improving, you know, baby steps. What small thing can I just improve a little bit on the journey, you know, because I can't control everything.
No.
You know, and trauma triggers are there. And the only thing I can do the best with it, you know? So that's probably another thing that, you know, if I were to give any sort of fruitful takeaways for your audience would be, you know, just focus on progress over perfection and just baby steps and allow yourself to be imperfect and just focus on the repair and focus on love. You know, love is the ultimate motivation in your relationship. Like, I think we're going to turn it out as much as we can to be okay. Yeah.
And don't be afraid to apologize when you make a mistake. Mistakes are human. It's okay. But then apologize and model for your daughter what an apology looks like.
Yeah. Because, you know, when I think back, I think the only apology that I would ever get would be like, I'm sorry you feel that way.
In an invalidating tone.
Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, that's not really an apology, but, you know.
Thanks for trying.
Yeah. Like bonus points for effort, I guess. I don't know. And then, you know, like, I struggle. I know a lot of it comes with like the labels, you know, with my daughter having such a big personality. Sometimes it's, I slip up and I'm like, oh my God, why is she so difficult? Why is she so naughty? Why is she being so like whatever label, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to really work on myself to reframe my perspective. Because she's little.
Yeah.
And she's got big feelings and we're all human and none of us know what we're doing. And like, you know, those mean labels don't help anybody.
No. No, they don't. Oftentimes they give you a limiting belief that you have to work through later. So.
Yeah. But like, those are the things that come up, you know, as mm-hmm. a mother raising mm-hmm. a little girl and having that mother wound, like
yep.
those same sort of programs that are running, mm-hmm. you have to really consciously be aware of that
mm-hmm.
and be like, what is the limiting belief that I'm holding right now in regards to my parenting? Because like, there's times where I call my mom and like my daughter's being, you know, six in the background and she'll be like, God, every time I hear you, she's always, you know, screaming in the background and like, you should go and discipline her. And I'm like, what do you want me to do about it? You know, like she's expressing herself. She's got feelings. Like nothing, me going and, you know, being mean to her isn't going to change what's happening right now. Like, I don't know. There's, so we clash on terms of like parenting philosophies mm-hmm. and the approach of that. So I've learned with my mom that I have to set that boundary very quickly on a phone call of like, I don't want to hear your, you know, advice or perspective or whatever. Like, I just called to see how your day was going.
Yeah.
Or like, I just wanted to talk to you about this TV show or something. Like, let's not get into the, what you think I should be doing as a mother conversation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are ones that I avoid. and that's, I guess that would probably be like another thing that I would tell people who have this mother wound, like, don't be afraid to set those boundaries. Because yep. if that's what's healthiest for you and you're doing things a different way, like just hold firm to like, mm-hmm. I'm not willing to have that conversation with you or, you mm-hmm. know, thank you for your input, but I'm going to do this. You know, mm-hmm. I've had to practice that a lot with my family because they're all very strongly opinionated
mm-hmm.
and they all have, you know, no problem voicing what they think I should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if I were to tell another new mama who's got this kind of dynamic in her life, figure out your boundaries and don't be afraid to set them because it's mm-hmm. going to be important on your journey.
Yeah, my line is typically, thank you for your thoughts. If you continue to push, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
We're done.
Yeah.
And some people respect that and some people get upset about that. And those are the people who don't respect your boundaries. So it's okay.
Yeah.
Love them from a distance.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I've had to learn a lot of new communication skills
mm-hmm.
and a lot about boundaries because I think, and this has been my experience, I don't know about you, but like, because I wanted to do everything so differently than how I was raised,
mm-hmm.
It kind of was like a little extreme there for a minute. Like I had to find the middle ground because I kind of threw the baby out with the bathwater in terms of like those philosophies. And I had to find ways to set boundaries with my daughter because I think for me, I found them cruel. And I'm not sure like, what that's connected to or where that came from. But it felt like I was abandoning her if I, you know, like set a boundary and needed to take space and go to the other room to calm down or something. And I didn't want her to feel that way. Mm-hmm. I wanted her to feel like she was still connected to me. And so I've had to work on that a lot through therapy, like knowing that it is important for me to set these boundaries with my children. And that it is, it's okay. Like I'm not being a co-parent when I'm doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of learning.
There's so much. Yeah. So much. If you are a mama without a mama or without a supportive mama, and you've got that mama wound, know that you are doing something that is so incredibly hard, and you are doing a kick-ass job. You are killing it.
Yeah.
Just a little encouragement for you.
I love it.
Well, Tiffany, where can people connect with you if they want to connect with you further?
They can reach out to me on Instagram. My handle is, you know, at Tiffany_FullSpectrumDoula. Or they can go to my website and contact me there, which is TiffanyEngenDoula.com. And that's TiffanyEngenDoula.com.
Awesome. So I will include a link to Tiffany's Instagram in the show notes of this episode so you can connect with her there and find her her website and all the things.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, thank you for conversing with me. It was a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you, Mama, for joining me today. Thank you for listening. If you liked what you heard, go ahead and click that subscribe button, the like button, the notification bell, all of the things. And if you know a mama who would benefit from this episode, please share it with them. Don't let them suffer alone. Until next week, friends, I will see you later.